May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Hymn 958.
Thank you. Let us turn to God's holy word, and we will read a part of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. And we will read from verse 1 to verse 28. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 28. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do, O Lord, come before thee as sinners, unworthy that we should have thy word before us, that thy dear Son should come to this sin-cursed earth. But, O Lord, thou art gracious. O Lord Jesus, thou art full of grace and truth. Thou hast moved with compassion. O Lord, we do praise thee for so great a gospel, glorious a gospel that we have set before us in thy word. And O Lord, we do pray that we may lay aside every weight and hindrance, besetting sin. O Lord, do help us so to do. That, O Lord, that we may come unto thee. O Lord, do draw us, we pray, that we may come unto thee. Thou who art the friend of sinners, the helper of the helpless, the good physician that healeth all manner of diseases, most especially of those of the soul, and can make one perfectly whole. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst come and heal us, Emmanuel. O Lord, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. O Lord, do touch us, we pray, by thy Holy Spirit this day, that we may know that we are thine. O Lord, do grant thy sweet touch, we pray. And O Lord, do stir us up, we pray, unto watch, that we may watch and pray, watch unto prayer. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy help. O Lord, how we feel our insufficiency and our great need. But, O Lord, thou art very gracious and merciful. And we would thank thee for so great promises we have in thy word. So exceeding great and precious promises. And, O Lord, the power is thine. As thou hast spoken forth the promise, thou dost speak forth with power of the Spirit. And, O Lord, may we feel it to be so, and feel the power of thy invitations. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O Lord, we do pray for thy help now. As we come to thy word, do grant us that help in speaking and the brethren in hearing, that there may be that light shed abroad in our hearts when we come to thy word, that it may show forth thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus, who is the eternal word. O Lord, do speak into our hearts, we pray, not just into our ears. Do speak the word with power, we pray. Where the word of a king is, there is power. O Lord, we do pray for thy gracious hand. Do help our friend David at the desk and his responsibilities and burden. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst guide him in the choosing of the hymns. And, O Lord, other friend Benji, O Lord, that thou wouldst be with him and his wife away at this time. O Lord, that they may be favoured. As others here who are away at this time, that thou wouldst bless them and favour them where they are. And, O Lord, those that are through old age unable to come out, or children that are not well at this time, and those that care for them, do be with them, we pray. But, O Lord, that thou hast drawn near to them, and help any that are unable to come to thy house, whether here or elsewhere, those that are in sickness or in pain. Oh Lord, those that could be here, but whatever hindrance, whatever temptation, whatever that has come, and they have not come here but could. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst in mercy touch their hearts. So Lord, that they may see as Peter, as see when thou didst look upon him, when he denied thee with oaths and curses, I know not the man, and thou didst look, turned and look. O Lord, do look upon them, we pray, if it could please thee. Their hearts may be broken, and that they may come indeed to thy house. We do pray for those in this neighbourhood, that there may be those brought out, the things of this vain dying world, those who perhaps walk past this place daily, that, O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to stir in their hearts a desire to seek thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. And, O Lord, we would pray for friends gathered here. Thou wouldst help them. We do pray for thy aged servant with us today, that thou wouldst strengthen him. Grant him thy blessing and thy help in his old age and advanced years. And, O Lord, each one here, we do pray for thy help, especially those in weakness or in sickness or in trouble or in bereavement or in pain or in sorrow or in tribulation. Indeed, we all must pass through tribulation, but especially those in the furnace of tribulation, where it is 1/7 times hotter than it is wont to be. O Lord, do draw near unto them, as thou didst to the 3 Hebrews in the fire. O Lord, any that are here but would desire not to be here, any here that have not a concern to worship thee, have no desire to follow thee, only wish to hear the amen at the end of the service, O Lord, do look in mercy upon them, that they may be shown that they are in the presence of their Creator. And one who will one day be their judge. O Lord, indeed, that thy goodness may lead them to repentance. For indeed, thou art a good God, a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. And, O Lord, may they be brought to pray. If any are come here backsliding, prayerlessly come into thy house. O Lord, may that spirit of prayer be granted now, that thou wouldst visit us, visit them, visit each one here, whether young or old. Do be upon the children, we pray, to keep them, watch over them for good, we pray. And we who are parents, may we be given that wisdom and patience and grace to walk as thou hast commanded in thy word to thine honour and glory. And, O Lord, we would pray for the sending forth of thy word to the 4 corners of this earth, as we have that precious privilege before us. And so many in this world have not the scriptures in their churches or in their homes, yet they would desire that they may have thy word. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest make a way for them to receive thy word, and that thy one true church may be edified to thine honour and glory, that may grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Do, O Lord, then grant that we may this day be edified, built up in the most holy faith, that thou mightest reveal unto us those things that we have seen not, and most especially thy love and mercy. O Lord, do help us, we pray. Do touch my lips with a live coal from off thine heavenly altar, that I may speak that which is right in thy sight, to thine honour and glory. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 917. Cease, O believer, cease to mourn. Return unto thy rest, return. Why should thy sorrow swell? Though deep distress thy steps attend, thy warfare shall in triumph end. With thee it shall go well. Hymn 917.
Thank you.
May the Lord grant us help as we come to his holy word. I'll direct your attention particularly to Mark chapter 1. Although we shall consider the verses around it, but especially the latter part of verse 14. It has been upon my spirit that I desire to bring before you that it may be profitable. Mark chapter 1 and the latter part of verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus came into Galilee. The glorious good news of the coming of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophecy of Isaiah, which is quoted in one of the gospel writers, concerning Galilee, the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the coming of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was to bring light to those that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. And that great message that he had, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Those words, the kingdom of God has been upon my spirit much the last few days. And the more one has studied the scriptures, how immense a subject indeed it is, and how can we but more than touch upon it here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as it is also referred to in scripture. And Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Though the subject is such a great one, one feels dwarfed, so enormously dwarfed by it. Yet, it is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel means good news. It is one subject which is, when we rightly view it, so precious and so needed, so necessary that we should know who is the king, what is the kingdom, how is it that one is admitted into the kingdom or made a citizen of that kingdom. To ask the question, are you? Am I a citizen of that kingdom or not? Are we hoping that we may be granted that evidence that we are a citizen of that glorious heavenly kingdom? Have we got a good hope that one day we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death and brought to be with Christ? One of the hymns, the hymn writer, poet, so beautifully puts this into words. Here we have the desire of one who is clearly yearning to be with Christ, which is far better. Hymn 483, yes, I shall soon be landed on yonder shores of bliss. There with my powers expanded shall dwell where Jesus is. Yes, I shall soon be seated with Jesus on his throne, my foes be all defeated and sacred peace made known. How glorious this kingdom is, that as the risen and glorified Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, declares in Revelation, in chapter 1 and verse 6, Rather, the apostle declares this truth concerning the Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God our Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The glorious good news of the gospel is that through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the vilest of wretches may be made kings and priests to reign with him. Again, we quote from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace he is saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, we must first begin with the first reference in Scripture to the word kingdom. And it is at Mount Sinai. When Moses is about to give the Ten Commandments, the holy law of God. We read in Exodus 19 and verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. There God declared unto Moses that which he should declare unto Israel. There we see, if Israel obeyed the law, ye shall be unto me, unto the Lord, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But how, as we know, the rebellious heart of man will not have this man. We will not have this one, the Lord, to reign over us. Now, these things are proved as we read the history of the Israelites. And surely, if we look at the history of our own lives, if we honestly examine our own heart and conscience, although we have the holy law of God, the righteous words of God before us, yet we are rebels, vile rebels against his authority and his grace, his glory. How merciful and gracious the Lord is. Yet we are vile rebels. We will not have this man to rule over us. And concerning that parable of the vineyard, how they slew the prophets when the Lord sent one and another to speak the words of the Lord, and finally sending his son, and him they slew, thinking that the vineyard, that is the kingdom, would now be theirs. Now that describes the vile, fallen heart of man, who would wish to have the kingdom of this world for oneself, who hates the authority and the word of God, in the book of Samuel. We read how the children of Israel, there they desired a king like the other nations. They were not content that God should be their king, and they desired that they should have a king like the Philistines, like the Moabites, like the Egyptians, and so on. And this thing sorely grieved Samuel, but we read of the Lord's words unto Samuel. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should reign over them." But yet, after Saul, the Lord was pleased to call Samuel to anoint David, one who is the blessed type, figure of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There we see the mercy of God. The mercy of God to those who have rebelled, utterly rejected God's word. Those who have set up their idols. Those who have gone to seek to be an altogether different kingdom, that of Satan. But yet, the Lord in his mercy, pleased to send forth a David. Rather, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, to deliver his people from their sins. But we read of that inheritance that is granted unto the sons of God, sons by adoption. Here we have a most necessary truth. We have in the Gospel according to John, there we see our Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him. Those who are citizens of this glorious kingdom, they are the sons, the children of God. And here we see that the Lord gave power. That is, in the margin, the word also signifies right or privilege to become the sons of God. And here is a fundamental truth that we must base all that we teach upon, that salvation is of the Lord and not of man. That right or privilege to be a child of God is from God himself and not from man. And it is through receiving him, it is through believing on his name, through the new birth, being born of the Spirit, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God, the Holy Spirit, work in the heart. Thus we see a most fundamental principle, that to be a child of God, to be a citizen of this glorious kingdom, the origin of such citizenship, such sonship, lies in the sovereign grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus, revealed by God the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God. A kingdom as a king, and that king rules. The king is Jesus, second person in the glorious Trinity, King of kings and Lord of lords. And our Lord himself came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What I said concerning the glorious truth of the sovereignty of God in salvation has been opposed, reviled, insulted. People will not have such things. They will have that, as it were, they are their own master. We can choose whether we will be saved or not. We can choose whether we will follow Jesus or not. We will choose whether we will obey the King of Kings or not. Well, the carnal heart of man, the fallen heart, will always choose to disobey. Bound under sin to disobedience and rebellion. Or even if the obedience appears openly. Even if we apparently appear to follow him, yet our hearts are in league with Satan and with sin. But the Lord in his grace and his mercy has sent forth the Spirit that those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died and shed his precious blood may cry out with an altogether spirit, an altogether different desire, that they now may be partakers of such a heavenly kingdom. And it's those that are crying out thirsting for the Lord, to them spiritually, as invitations are sent forth with power. The gospel is to be preached to all who will hear. All in our hearing. But those spiritual words that enter into the heart, it is the power of God, not the power of the minister. It is the power of the Holy Spirit entering therein to gather together the Lord's people. But we must exercise due care and due diligence concerning the scriptures. For our text does not end in verse 14. Well, the verse carries on. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. The manner of some, and I know not whether it's the manner of any here, the Lord knows each of our hearts, but I must give a warning. There are those that will take hold of the doctrine of election and predestination. Acknowledging that salvation is of the Lord, that none can come into the kingdom of heaven unless they were chosen in eternity, elect in Christ Jesus. But then start to add human reason to the holy word of God and the teaching of God. To think, well, if I can only enter this kingdom, if the Lord should call me, well, that is true. But then settle down. Settle down in this life. Continue in a form of religion. And say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to move me. I shall continue here below in the things of this world in a form of religion. And as it were, settle back in idleness and sloth. That's what it is. But with a form of sound doctrine to cover it. Salvation is of the Lord. I cannot put my hand to it. It must be the Lord. Well, when you take verse 14 and verse 15 together, we see that the words of the Lord were not to encourage a settling down, short of a saving knowledge of this kingdom. To settle down upon one particular doctrine, and as it were, thereby excuse that pressing forward unto the kingdom of heaven. For indeed, we must consider the entry, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Religion, true religion, isn't just a one in the mind, one of contemplation, one of knowing what are the scriptural doctrines or not. Where the power of the Holy Spirit is in the heart, working in the heart, there will be a pressing forward. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. To some it may seem a complete paradox, contradiction even, that we should believe the sovereignty of God in salvation, yet that the Lord Jesus here should say, repent ye and believe the gospel. For those to whom the Lord has a sovereign purpose of salvation truly will be stirred up. And indeed, ought not we to repent? We are vile rebels against a good and almighty God who is our Creator. Shall we not be accountable for such a hard, unrepentant heart at the last judgment? Shall we not be accountable that we have disbelieved his word? Been unthankful, not given him the honour and the glory as we truly ought. Now the Lord Jesus Christ here sets forth that way. Repentance and belief. When he says here, believe the gospel, he doesn't just mean belief as is commonly used today, referring to various beliefs and various religions. He's speaking of like that Ethiopian eunuch that believed with all his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, with that true faith. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'll tell you one thing from my own experience. When I truly saw the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, that he is the King, and that to take upon one's lips the name of a Christian is to confess that one is a citizen under his authority. And yet when I saw my life and religious life, it was one in rebellion against him. And how many sins there were, countless sins, against a good God. I couldn't sit back and say, ah, the sovereignty of God. When the Lord will call me, he'll call me, and I'll just carry on coming to chapel or to church or read my Bible and just wait till the time that the Lord should call me. When I saw the sovereignty of God and that glimpse of the kingship of Christ, how it brought me to fall at his feet, not to sit in presumption in a chapel pew or a church pew was at that time with me, brought me for the first time to fall on my knees before him and plead for mercy. To have that true sense that the King of Kings sees our very thoughts, our hearts, it is all bare before him, our lives, our ruinous behaviour, our rebellious behaviour, our wickedness, is all bare before him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, there I had to fall before the Lord and plead for mercy. There indeed was given that gift of repentance to me. So to do. I didn't weigh up those matters at the time of those doctrines and all the verses. What I knew was that I was before the King of Kings and I was a vile rebel and I must plead for mercy. And it is to such that words like this are an encouragement, direction, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news. There is hope. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news. There was that hope in my heart that the Lord may be merciful. For who can tell but the Lord will be gracious? It wasn't like Judas Iscariot, horror of realizing he betrayed the Lord, sold him for 30 pieces of silver, repented himself. But was only left in darkness, in horror of darkness, and went out and hung himself. But where the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom of God comes, there is light in darkness. There is not just a horror of darkness, but there's that little glimpse of light. The kingdom of God is like unto the kingdom of heaven, like unto a grain of mustard seed. And how that grows forth into the greatest of herbs. Mustard plant, the seed is very small. But particularly the form of mustard that grew in those countries would be perhaps 10 foot tall. Greatest of all herbs. And how from that little, as it were, seed, glimmer of hope, that light in darkness. In the midst of seeing one's undone condition, yet there is the gospel of the kingdom of God. There is that hope in Christ. Jesus came forward. Came into Galilee. The name Jesus, how attractive it is to a sinner condemned to die. The name Jesus, which means Saviour. How the heart of one who is utterly ruined and condemned is attracted by the name Jesus. The name of hope. How many they pressed forward to him. There were those who had no hope, but they came to him. No hope in this world, the lepers, the leprosy that was incurable. But they came to Jesus and the Lord healed them. The woman with the issue of blood had spent all her substance, had been to various doctors and had become worse rather than better. But she came to Jesus and she was made perfectly whole. There she touched the hem of his garment. Well, the hem is at the bottom. Well, in that respect, it's the finishing touch of the garment, the finished work. She must have stooped down to touch the hem of his garment, believing that he is Jesus. And that she should be made perfectly whole if she but touched the hem of his garment, and she was. The gospel of the kingdom of God. She could come to the King of Kings. The children of Israel at Mount Sinai, when there was the giving of the Ten Commandments, they couldn't touch the border of the mount. Could not even come near to the mountain. If one should attempt to do, they would be thrust through with a dart, or struck down by the glory and righteous indignation of God. Like Uzzah, who put his hand upon the Ark of the Covenant and was struck down. But yet, that woman who came, and others who came in repentance, and believing that the Lord would be merciful, believing that this was Jesus, the Lamb of God who was promised, the one who should deliver, save his people from their sins. They came unto the King in his sacred humanity and could touch the hem of his garment. Could, like Bartimaeus, cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The beggar crying out to the King of Glory, believing that the Lord would have mercy. The publican coming to the temple, standing afar off, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was in the presence of the King, repenting over his sins. But he was there, believing that the Lord may show mercy upon him. And he went to his home justified rather than the proud Pharisee, who was so sure he was in the kingdom. Had nothing to say other than to thank God he was so secure and so smug and so proper and not like that poor publican. So sure himself that he was in the kingdom. But there was no repentance. No believing the gospel. He had no need of a gospel. The whole have no need of a physician. But Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Truly, when the Lord brought me that place of saying the kingship of Christ and his holiness and his glory and my vile rebellion, truly I felt within my very soul I must press forward unto the Lord, repenting. In that one sense, there was a standing afar off. I did not feel worthy to come, but yet I must come. Kingdom of God is at hand. I couldn't say like I did when I was younger, knowing about the dying thief who repented at last and went to heaven. Couldn't think any more, well, I've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to enjoy this life, or to settle down and wait upon the Lord's hand. time was at hand. I must cry out, give me Christ or else I die. Those verses we've already quoted. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Nowhere in Scripture is idleness commended, whether in natural things or in spiritual things. How many places is there that exhortation, encouragement to diligence, whether in natural things or in spiritual things, in prayer and watching and in searching the Scriptures? For those verses, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That suffering violence, that pressing forward, that urgency. As Huntington, William Huntington, entitled his own testimony, The Kingdom of Heaven Taken by Prayer. There was a pressing forward. And taking the kingdom of heaven by prayer, earnest prayer. Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, wrestling prayer. And the violent take it by force. Oh, that we may have that true zeal in our religion, true religion. A true seeking of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, a true repentance. The Lord may give us that true spirit of repentance, that we may not be satisfied with believing the doctrines of election and predestination or any other doctrine and yet be prayerless, unconcerned, other than to make sure we are fed, clothed and so on in this life. Well, what did our Lord say concerning those things? Seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There is the precious promise to those that seek, earnestly seek the kingdom. We have it here from our Lord himself. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, to seek that above all other things. If in this life our main seeking is after what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? How shall we get on with the family? How shall we get on with our business? How shall we get on with our career? How shall we get on building up money? How shall we get on building up influence or fame? Doesn't matter what doctrine we know, which chapel we sit in, which minister we are under. If we're only seeking those things which are here below, we are yet testifying that we are citizens of an earthly kingdom, not of a heavenly one. We're still under the prince of the power of the air, still under the dominion of Satan, still minding earthly things. But here it says, rather seek ye, or in another gospel, another occasion, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just so precious a promise that those who come seeking the Lord with all their heart shall receive answers of peace, answers of mercy, that gracious welcome. That gracious, indeed, it is the Spirit that has drawn them to the kingdom of God from the kingdom of this world. Just through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. We read Paul wrote that in the Acts of the Apostles, or said that, quoted in the Acts of the Apostles, through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. It's not a kingdom of a way of ease. Well, in that eternal fulfillment of the kingdom, when all things shall be accomplished upon this earth, and the time shall be no more, then the redeemed of the Lord shall come into Zion, and shall be in that place of eternal bliss and glory. Indeed, after death, the redeemed soul of the Lord's people shall be with the Lord, awaiting the resurrection of the body. But here below, we are seeking and walking in that way that leads unto eternal life. It is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. But let us consider this kingdom. We might say a nation. Now, most of the nations of this world aren't actually kingdoms. We leave that to one side. But each one of us here, we have a nationality. In our country, one may be a national or a citizen of more than one country. Alas, that is all too rife in that spiritual sense in the churches of our country, whether it be of our association or not. Those who seek to be dual nationals, as it were, a citizen of the kingdom of this world, and also to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, so they hope. There are many countries in this world that do not allow dual nationality. But if you are to hold a citizenship of another country, it is a crime. Disloyalty. But if you are to take up the citizenship of another country, you have to renounce the citizenship of your own. To take up that other citizenship. That is an analogy very much akin to that which we have in the scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. You cannot serve God and mammon. As Elijah said unto the Israelites on Mount Carmel, that halt ye between two opinions. He said unto them, if God be God, then serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him. Why halt ye between two opinions? We cannot enter into the kingdom of God if we're still claiming citizenship of the kingdom of this world. There must be a renouncing of it. That's why God is so, his wrath is so revealed against hypocrisy, as we read from Genesis to Revelation. Those that would make a profession of religion or an appearance of religion, yet their hearts and their lives are all set out, and all their hopes are set out here below. You cannot serve God and mammon. Indeed, that question came to me with power when I was first brought on that way that led to eternal life as a first few days as a student at Southampton, somebody came to me and said, "Do you believe in God?" And my immediate answer, "Well, yes, I do. I was in the Church of England. I'd been christened, as they call it. Well, I call it baptism, but it's not really. Infant sprinkled, confirmed, sung in the choir, head chorister, sang in cathedrals, lit all the candles on the altar and bowed before the altar and so on. Yes, I believed in God. But although no human, the other student who said this to me and asked a few other questions didn't say it, that the Lord spoke into my heart. If you believe in God, why are you leading your life as if there is no God? That is just how it is with those who would seek to have, you might say, dual nationality. I believe in God, but a life is led which denies God. Or appear to be a Christian here in the chapel, but at work or at school or in the family or wherever it is, out of sight of the minister and the deacons, everyone else, to live a life like everybody else. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means ungodly riches. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. That is a reference to our Lord's death and resurrection. An ascension into glory. We have that prophecy in Psalm 24 concerning the entry into heaven of the Lord Jesus Christ. Triumphant, the King of Kings. That same, that glorified body and soul in which he suffered, died. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. We have in the Colossians, concerning these blessed truths, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There is that glorious inheritance of that kingdom of heaven, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, that is, carried us across, as the word means, into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see there that word translate, to be carried from one to the other, not to have a foot in both camps. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, through the precious blood of Christ. There we have that redemption. You remember at the beginning I quoted those verses from Exodus chapter 19, under the law, that by obedience the children of Israel should be a kingdom, the Lord's kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 1, there we have, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. But what precedes it? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. The precious power of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his love, his eternal love, his eternal mercy. Unto him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. There is the glorious power of the blood of Christ to wash us from our sins, to make us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be brought into that glorious kingdom And our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, declared to be the Son of God with power. They're declared to be the victor. That one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, if we are truly in the kingdom. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. That precious token, the Spirit. Those of us who are British citizens, we have a passport. There is a evidence that we are citizen, British citizen. There's our right to entry to a country, to enter this country. And the Lord, given that earnest of the Spirit, earnest, it means a sign or a token. Within us, the Holy Spirit, whilst here below, yet this body of death, the old man of sin, yet the Lord has given that precious token, that witness within, crying, Abba, Father, that we are the children of God. If we are such a precious witness and token, therefore let us watch and wait for his appearing, when our Lord shall be declared at the end of time that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £627, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 484. Perfect holiness of spirit, saints above, full of love, with the Lamb inherit. Hymn 484.
And O Lord, do look in mercy upon us. Do forgive that which has been amiss. But O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon thy word into our hearts. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.